It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Gallagher Shots YouTube and podcast channel. We are back with another match preview. After the heroics at the weekend against Wolves, we turn our attention to the Chelsea game. I'm Scott, I'm your host for this one, and this week I'm joined by Joe, Daryl and Andy. Boys, I'm going to jump straight into this one, but before we do that, here's a little word from our sponsor. The Gallagher Shots match preview is brought to you by Magpin. Magpin are the go-to site for high-quality, unofficial enamel pin badges of Newcastle United players, legends and retro kits. For more information, visit their website at magpinbadges.bigcartel.com. So then, Monday night football. It's been a while since we've had Monday night football as a Newcastle fan. 11th of March, 8 p.m. kickoff under the lights at Stamford Bridge. It's live on Sky, but you don't want to watch it on Sky. You want to be tuning in to the Always Smiling Faces podcast because they're going to get the biggest pizza in the world. The boys are doing a live watch along. And they're going to have a, I believe it's called a mukbang. But
a what?
Whatever.
Mukbang. That's a different channel, I think.
Yes, right. But they're going to be eating pizza and watching and watching the football. So have the football on in the background and watch the lads on Monday night. But we're here to preview that game. Chelsea, they're a bit like a light switch this season. They're a bit off and on. They're sitting 11th in the league on 36 points, so they're not safe yet. They could still get relegated. And if FFP catches up with them, they probably will get relegated. But it's 10 wins, 10 defeats and 6 draws. They're on a plus one goal difference. That's 44 goals scored and 43 against. Obviously, that equals plus one. Their last five is two draws, one win and two defeats. That's draws against Brentford and Man City and a win against Palace and then a defeat against Wolves at home and Liverpool away. The bookies have Chelsea's favourites, but Joe, it's not as clean cut as that, is it? What do you think? How are you feeling going into this one?
Well, I mean, to be fair, Stamford Bridge is always a bit of a bogey ground for us, but I think mitigating circumstances are that Chelsea absolutely dominated the 2010s, whilst we had Mike Ashley as owner. So, I think me and Daryl were speaking before this that our only win came from a certain brace, I think, from who? And
memories.
Yeah, I know. So, I think looking into this, we did pretty well last season. I mean, it was the last game of the season. So it's a bit different. It's difficult to really take that face value when you compare it to now. But we smashed them at home. Yeah. They're, like you say, they're very much an off and on team. Our waveform looks like it's turning around. So actually, there is a lot of cause for being optimistic. And not only that, we've got players coming back, like the likes of Willick. Barnes is back. Isak is getting the full fitness. Now, I think we've got in us. We've got it in us to have a regular go at them. And I don't think we should go into this with any fear.
Absolutely, Andy, mate. Obviously, you know, we'll talk about Trippier later, but it looks like, well, it's pretty obvious he's not going to feature, but we've got players coming back. There's talk of, you know, Matty Target returning to training this week, which is just strength in numbers. And there's a bit more confidence around our team. And you saw that against Wolves. And, you know, we were confident last week, although neither of us were in the preview. But, you know, we got a bit of stick in the comments for being confident. But I think we've got every right to be a bit confident going into this one because, you know, nobody knows what Chelsea side is going to turn up. And there's a bit of unrest in the Chelsea camp, whether it be the players, whether it be about the manager. It just seems like Chelsea don't even know who Chelsea are anymore.
No. And it's funny when you're reading up on Chelsea, none of the journalists seem to know who Chelsea are either. There's kind of this... I mean, but even when Chelsea were at the best at peak Abramovich, there was always still chaos then. They were always sacking managers, buying weird players, like when they bought Torres, and when they randomly had like Iron Robin and people like this. There's always chaos. But with Chelsea at the minute, I think we obviously knew they were going for a bit of a transition long-term plan when they got Potter, but then it became so bad that they had to get rid of him and they appointed someone with a bit more pedigree. But in the Brentford game just gone, there were the first chance of F off Maurizio going on in the away end. but when I've looked into it a bit, it looks like there's very much two camps on the Pochettino thing at the moment. I think a lot of Chelsea fans looking at their team now thinking we're expecting to be bad, which is so alien to a whole generation of fans. They're just not sure how to deal with it. And one thing I was watching, they were saying, even the media now has stopped reporting on how bad they are because it's just boring, because they're just losing all the time and not performing. And it's like, why has that become acceptable when obviously they were so good for so long? But the other side of the camp, they're very much pointing the fingers at the ownership. They've said, what is the point of ripping up everything all over again when we've just spent literally £1 billion on players? The owners have come in, and it looks like they don't really know what they're doing. They've just thrown loads of money at the situation, bought loads of young'uns. So obviously in the Carabao Cup final just gone, it was all Klopp's kids against Chelsea, but Chelsea's squad was younger than Liverpool's was. Yeah. So there's just a bit of discontent everywhere at the moment. It's a bit like back in the day with us. Obviously, it's not exactly comparable, but similar, where we all wanted to get rid of Pardew, but we knew that the issue was ultimately with Ashley and things like that. So, yeah, lots of discontent, good time to play them. Obviously, we'll go into Chelsea in terms of their actual football in a little while, but it seems like Pochettino's blaming injuries, fans are blaming Pochettino, fans are blaming owners. Owners don't know what they're doing and they want to hire Steve Kerr, the basketball coach, apparently. So it's all just massive chaos there at the moment. Yeah,
Daryl, I was going to touch on that, Daryl. I mean, obviously, you know, they're looking to do a Ted Lasso. And I think, you know, to coin a phrase from Ted Lasso, I think there is a lot of belief that's gone in that Chelsea camp that they can do anything. They just don't seem to, you know, the only thing it seems that they can do is spend money.
Yeah.
And you know,
without FFP, apparently.
That's rich coming from us. I know, like, because we are the ones who should be the spending the money, given our owners or whatever. But, you know, it seems like they have, as Andy said, they've spent £1 billion. It's almost like they're doing it on purpose. It's almost like they're purposely wanting to be in this mid-table mediocrity for a few seasons to avoid any spotlight, avoid European football for a bit, build this squad, and then come back. And maybe come back in a couple of years' time where they get this amazing squad. They're avoiding FFP with these whole, you know, 9-year contracts or whatever it is that they're doing. And then they've got this team which can then compete in Europe and compete for the, you know, the titles that they've had in the past. Is that how you see this sort of thing happening? Does it look like that on kind of from the outside looking in?
I mean, the whole thing just seems totally like out of this world, isn't it? I mean, you know, you just mentioned there the amount of money that they've spent, and yet this is a team that went. I mean, I think the excuse they'll probably look at is that they went under a transfer embargo not too long ago, and that's basically bulked up their reserves of what they can now go out and throw at anybody they want, really, which is what they've been doing. It's just really strange. And like you say, are they flexing their muscles? Because they've suddenly got all this wealth in the bank, and we still don't really know where it's all coming from, because obviously Todd Bowley is quite a rich guy, but is he rich enough to be able to just throw £1 billion out of the window and just let it land at Chelsea's feet? And then, you know, you see all these players, these long-term contracts, and shipping out certain players on loan to other clubs to try and lighten the load and just do little things to wrangle their way around these FFP restrictions. It's just, imagine what would be happening if it was us. Imagine the reaction we'd be receiving if we were the team doing this, what Chelsea are doing right now, and just throwing money at everything to try and whatever. They're not even a steady in the ship, because they've gone backwards, really, compared to where they were. And
2 years into their ownership as well, which is mad.
Yeah. And it's just not getting better for them. And it's a huge gamble he's taken. I mean, this must just be the American way. And, you know, God bless America and only in America and all that sort of thing. But I mean, he's just doing it in a way that we're just totally not used to seeing over here. It's like he's properly running it like an American franchise in sports. And it's just absolutely crazy.
And the lower than Brighton, which is the funniest thing of all. After trying to cut and paste Brighton's team into theirs.
And the manager, yeah.
And the backroom staff, yeah.
I think the
main reason why people aren't kicking off too much is because they aren't doing very well. You know, I think if it was pulled off and they had been successful, then everyone would be crying. I mean, obviously it's not quite the same extent, but you look at Man United over the last, 7 years since Fergie left, where they've chucked money at everyone and everything, buying players left, right and centre. And in the narrative was, you know, a criticism at the owners for them not doing well enough. And it's just weird. It's weird. I think it just depends on the club, really. But
it's quite reassuring, actually, as a football fan, that you can't just blow £1 billion and win everything. Even though, obviously, we know that there's a massive disparity with the big six in Man City and everything like that. But it is quite reassuring that you actually have to be able to run a club as well.
It's exactly. But it's nice, though, because I think it's a perfect example of when you look at Chelsea's owner coming in pretty much the same time as our owners, and the absolute fork in the road between the two clubs in terms of where we're going. I mean, like you just said there, it's that lack of trust in the ownership. From their side, we have the complete opposite, where we completely put all our faith in what they're doing over at St. James' Park, whether that be on the pitch or behind the scenes at the training ground. We know that whatever they do is going to be the benefit of the club, because they're smart and they have the right backroom staff. And like you say, you just don't have that at all down at Stamford Bridge.
We've also got to think, it's not like Chelsea have spent that money and before that they had nothing.
Yeah. Mm.
It's not like they're starting from scratch. They've started with a massive foundation underneath them with the previous owners. They've got a great youth system. They've got all this money that they've had, and they've had all this success in the past. You know, if you'd spent that billion and you started from nothing, then maybe it's okay, yeah. So finishing in 11th or being in 11th currently in the... I can't remember where they finished last season. It was around mid-table.
Similar, yeah.
10th, 9th, something like that. You know, you'd maybe think, okay, you're building and... this will come in the future. But, you know, like I think it was Andy said, they've got Romelu Lukaku. He's been out on loan for 2 seasons. You've got 80 million or whatever he's worth at the minute on loan at, where's he, Roma at the moment? I think he is, or he's somewhere.
They also at one point had Mo Salah and De Bruyne on the books and let them go.
Yeah.
It's just like, but that was for previous owners.
Money as well.
Like I say, they've always just done mad stuff, Chelsea, but it's like, it's almost like it's caught up with them a bit.
You're right though, Scott, because they were criticised for not using a youth academy for how good it was. I mean,
they had 50 players out on loan one season.
I was just going to say, they had to make 50 players out. And when you think about how many were actually really good, and would have fit in many Premier League sides. And you think, well, why aren't you utilising that more? And like you say, it's not just went away in the blink of an eye, but it's just crazy that they've still got that in place. Exactly.
They've bought Man City's best youth player. It's just mad.
I know. We'll focus on
the team now. I mean, obviously, Andy, you've been looking into the way Chelsea are going to be playing. Obviously, Cole Palmer has probably been that one shining light that they've had this season. He's been, you know, arguably their best player by far. You know, he was easily the best player against us at St. James's. And in the, which cup game? Was it the cup game, the penalty kick? The penalty shootout in the League Cup where they knocked us out obviously he was one of the best players on that pitch as well. You know, he's obviously going to feature on Monday. You'd expect, but are we expecting same again from Chelsea from what we've seen in the past few games, in the past couple of games we've seen this season?
Yeah, they've had a really settled team, partly from injury, but partly because I think Pochettino is just, his pool of players that he trusts is so slim now. So the team that they played in the cup final is probably a good indicator. So they had Petrovic in goal, Gusto, De Sassi, Colwell, Chilwell, Casado, Enzo, Gallagher. Those two holding midfielders worth collectively like 5 billion quid, but just the two of them. And then front three of Palmer, Jackson and Sterling. And I agree with you on Palmer, so I won't flog that horse again. But one thing I was watching today, they were actually saying, in terms of their player of the season, it might be Gusto right back now. They're saying he's actually been a shining light. He's one of these young players who's come in and has actually looked the part. And Reece James has been injured again for a full season again, as is his sister. They just don't know what's in their genes. It's just terrible. Probably. But it's that right-hand side, I think, where the main threat is. I don't think Chilwell's fired as much as he could do. Sterling, I mean, I never really rated him even when he was at Man City. He comes out with these amazing moments sometimes, but I don't think he's necessarily a big-game player. And then we know that Nicholas Jackson, despite looking like absolutely incredible in pre-season against us, has just been a bit of a, well, I won't criticise him too much because he'll score, but just not great. So it'll be that team against Brentford. They did experiment and went 3-5-2. And Pochettino said that was just to try something else because of the injuries. But Thomas Frank came out and said, no, that's clearly because they were trying to match us up and things like that. So I think it'll be the 4-2-3-1 with Gallagher in the number 10. And we've seen that sort of formation hurt us before. But after a couple of wins and a bit of confidence, I still believe this Newcastle team can beat anyone in the league. So we're on a bit of an upward curve, they're on a bit of a downward curve. Hopefully we're playing them at the right time.
Yeah, I mean, we'll touch briefly on the Chelsea injuries as well, Daryl. There's a few that I think have been injured for a long time. I think Wesley Fofana, Lavia James. You've got Nkunku, who's came back, got injured. He's never really hit the ground running, and it's a shame because he's a player that I think we should have went for pre-season, and it's never worked out because of his injuries. You've got, and I apologise here, I don't know, I'm going to butcher this, Chukwuemeka and Badiashile.
Chukwuemeka was 4.5 million in fantasy and was doing mint before he got injured. That was my one good move I did on FPL this year. Then he got injured.
So they've had a rough time with injuries this season, and I think a lot of that maybe is down to, you know, the position they found themselves in the league, that they've not really had a settled 11. You know, obviously we've had our injury crisis as well this season, but you know, you look at those players, there's some big names there that are missing, some all season, but there's some new names added to that list from previous games in the week.
I mean, I'd love to say some big names and some big prices, but they all cost big prices no matter how good or bad they are. So it doesn't really count as an argument, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, we're all too familiar with the effects that injuries and whatnot can have on your squad. I mean, you know, we topped that to that little table that went the rounds over the weekend about the most minutes lost to injury this season so far. And again, Chelsea will be up there as well. It's interesting you mentioned about Nkunku there, and it just made me think of the situation we've had with Callum Wilson and Alexander Isak. Say that they're never really both fit at the same time, and as is the case presently, it's the same thing over again. And again, like you say, when you have that many injuries, it's really hard to try and get a settled 11, especially when as soon as somebody comes back, somebody drops out. And again, another thing that we're quite familiar with, and again, when you have to go with a small pool of players, which we've had to do, when you have to go back as far as December to remember, and that's, you know, when you have to go through a small pool of players, you wear them out, you tire them down, and they break down with little niggles, or they just can't keep performing at their peak because they're playing so many games in such a short space of time.
Well, Pochettino specifically mentioned the midfield three of Enzo, Caicedo and Gallagher. And it's a similar situation to us where they haven't had anyone else to come in for so long. So it's not necessarily that the starting 11's bad, it's just that they're just being flogged. And I think they've just played three games in 6 days or something like that. So, yeah, I mean, I don't have that much sympathy for them because they've got infinite money, but you know.
Absolutely. Joe, mate, obviously, to turn to Newcastle and our injuries, the Kieran Trippier injury, we saw him go down against Wolves in it. I think he knew before the ball even got to him that it was bad. And you kind of think, looking at that game, actually, he wasn't getting forward as much as maybe we'd like to. And maybe he was nursing that a bit longer than it just happening at that spot. But on the bright side of that, we did see Tino Livramento play in his natural position and do well in his natural position. So we do have a natural replacement, like for like. And obviously, we've got Emile Kraft as well. Because one thing we do have to remember is, Not that he would be playing anyway, is that Lewis Hall can't play in this game or feature in this game or even be on the bench in this game because it's his parent club.
At least Eddie has got an excuse this week.
He's got an excuse this week. Not yes.
I was about to play Lewis.
£35 million.
Massive shame. Well, right back is probably the one position you'd argue that it's not the worst thing in the world if we did get an injury just for the strength and depth, like you just said. The thing with Trippier in that, and I know that he's had, I think, one of the highest goal involvements, especially for a defender this season. I think he's got like 9 or 10 or something. But the passing triangles between him, Miggy and Bruno haven't been obviously the same.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night, ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
As they were last season. You know, a lot of the time because of the fact that Bruno's had to play deeper and Mickey's been in and out of the squad. Yeah, like, there's loads of factors why. But what we saw with Tino coming on is that really young, leggy right back who's just going to bomb forward, commit defenders. And obviously, you know, in the instance against Wolves, score a goal. Like, he's not going to do that every time, although you never know. But I think putting Tino in for at least a short period of time whilst Trippier is out will be it could be the whole refreshing thing that the team needs. I'm not saying, you know, it's a good thing that Trippier is out, obviously, but like I say, having that fresh pair of legs in, having that plan B in where you've got that direct forward who's going to cut inside a little bit more, it could be something that could work really well in our favour. So, you know, it's a good thing that we've got Tino there and he's shown his quality. There's nothing that he can't do for this side. And when you look at Chelsea's team, Sterling, I mean, he's obviously still very pacey, very skillful. I trust that Tino's actually going to deal with him alongside, well, probably Longstaff, who's helping him out. So, no, I'm looking forward to seeing how he does with an extended run in the side. And with Willock back as well, helping out Dan Byrne, I think it means that we're probably covered on both sides of the field defensively. I'm looking forward to seeing how he does, and I reckon he'll probably challenge Trippier to get back into the side come probably the end of March when he's back to fitness.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier, Daryl, obviously there's reports this week that Matt Target's returning to full training, and also Elliot Anderson, obviously we've seen him feature off the bench, but he's actually now returning to full training this week. So you know, obviously we jested about Hall not being on the bench, but you'd think Target and Anderson would feature on the bench and maybe he's come off and get some minutes on the bench, depending on how the game goes, of course. But it'll be good to see them on the bench at least, just to get the names on, and maybe, you know, you'll give Anderson more than, you know, bringing him on the 99th minute or whatever it is he's been doing of late, to you know, just get minutes in his legs or to take a penalty. It'll be just good to see them, and maybe even Target to bring him on if Dan Byrne is struggling a bit against. I don't know who it is that plays on that side for Chelsea.
Probably Palmer, likely.
Palmer, yeah.
Yeah.
And it depends on how long Willock lasts as well, you think as well, because obviously we saw Willock helping Dan Byrne out quite a bit, especially in the first half when Nettle was on for Wolves.
Yeah. It is. It's just so refreshing to see a bit more depth in the squad in these key areas. And I suppose the other thing to mention as well would be that if Matty Target was even in the squad and Eddie still didn't really want to pull him in against Chelsea and expect something from him in that respect. We now have that option to just take Tino from the right, put him left, and then bring Kraft on to show up the right-hand side. It is nice to have those additional options now. Again, like you mentioned, with Willock and Anderson, it's great to have those extra bodies and legs ready for midfield, because as we already mentioned, when you play the same players all the time, they do just tire out and break down. And it's just refreshing to have those options. We saw that against Wolves last weekend when we had Joe Willock starting, and just the difference that his running makes to that midfield. It gives Bruno an out ball. It gives the opposition defence another attacking threat to worry about when you include him alongside Isaac, Gordon, Murphy or Almiron, whichever one will start. And it's just an extra level of dynamism that we have been missing.
Yeah, and Andy, that's obviously another question, really. Obviously, Miggy or Murphy. I think before Wolves, everyone was of the opinion that it would be Miggy ahead of Murphy. Murphy started and did a really good job. Miggy obviously came on and did another good job as well. It's nice that we've got players who are, you know, putting in performances, and it looks like competition for spots is what was needed, and maybe he's giving these players that little kick up the backside that maybe some of them needed to maybe up that game a little bit, and it's making the decisions maybe a little bit harder for Eddie Howe and giving them food for thought and making the decisions a little bit more tricky for certainly for us, and giving us stuff to talk about, which is nice, as opposed to every week just going, yeah, it's going to be the same 11 as it was last week.
Yeah, that was the first like 15 of these previews we did, wasn't it? It was so boring. But yeah, no, it is nice. I think the Miggy Murphy one is it's easy to forget how far Murphy came under Howe as well. Obviously, we always talk about Joe Linton and all these players, but Murphy as well. He was obviously, we remember the just put it in the net incident and how he did look really poor for a long period of time. But I think Howe knows that his best attribute is just being direct and just getting in early crosses and just having shots and things like that. And you almost have to give him that license, because as we saw against Spurs, for example, he can just put one in top corner. And he's got that in his locker, whereas we know Almiron, he always needs that extra touch. He always needs to come inside. He needs Trippier going beyond him, or Bruno coming inside, or Isak making a run. So it's not just that it's a different option. I think it gives you a different tactical option as well in terms of how you want to play. I think I don't think Isak is necessarily an amazing aerial presence by any means, but we saw against Wolves that just putting in the early cross and causing a bit of doubt can get you a goal. Obviously, the Wolves keeper and the defender kind of messed it up, but if he doesn't put that cross in, it doesn't happen. And I think we've seen Almiron be quite a good impact sub as well. I think obviously in the cup game against Blackburn, he came on and actually showed a bit of quality. So it would be nice to see him able to use his running and his high press and his intensity, because so many times this season we've seen him just absolutely blown out his backside after 15 minutes. And it's like we have to keep kicking him to keep him going, because he's obviously so good. But yeah, options, it's great. And just to touch just briefly as well on Anderson, I think of all of the players out after Willock, I can't wait to see him back, because this was his breakout season that he was supposed to have, and it's been ruined for him. And to come on and not touch a ball for so long and just whack in a penalty, which was an unreal penalty, I cannot wait to see what he can do back in the side. Can play loads of positions. Good young player that we need. Hopefully he gets some good minutes.
Yeah, and we're not obviously forgetting about Lewis Miley, of course. Obviously, he's done what he's needed to do this season. We're not writing him off one iota.
Give the lad a break. Let him go back to opening FIFA packs or something.
let him get his homework out the way with, because I'm sure he's piling up. Joe, obviously, you know, I think unless Anthony Gordon needs a rest, I think it's a given Anthony Gordon's going to start on the other wing. And Isak, I don't think Isak, we can really play anybody else unless, again, he needs a rest. And you move unless Gordon into the middle and start Harvey Barnes. It's really... We've talked about how lucky we are that we've got players coming back, and unfortunately, we've only really got the option of the two, with Harvey Barnes being the exception for replacing Gordon on the right. So, those two players kind of are picking themselves at the moment, which luckily those are the two players that haven't needed competition in those spots, because they're performing for us, which is nice. It's nice that they're playing to their abilities at the moment. at least.
Yeah, yeah, of course. We've been very lucky that the likes of Gordon have stepped up and through adversity have managed to drag us through what has been a really difficult time. But yeah, hey, I'm just happy that we have players coming back, man. Like Biggers can't be choosers. But it's funny. It's been like a revolving door at this club this season. When one player goes, another one comes back. But besides the ones who are out long term, yeah, we're looking like we're getting a bit more depth in the squad, and it's showing as well. We're getting the intensity back. We're getting the legs that Howe needs. And obviously, you know, players with certain qualities as well. Like we've just been talking about, Willock is that player that instead of getting the ball in midfield and maybe passing it back to a centre-back or playing it sideways, he's turning and driving forward and looking to make something happen. We missed it massively. And it's just good to see that back. And this is why I think that we're going to have a strong end of the season and take on a lot of teams in ways that we haven't seen for much of the previous I suppose two-thirds of the season. It's good. It's good. And like you say, I think a lot of the foreign players anyway pick themselves. But it'll be nice to see maybe the likes of Gordon not having to play as much and maybe not having to play a full 90 minutes. Like you say, get a Barnes on. They have a little bit of a plan B, do something different. The reason he's been picking Murphy recently is because he's getting that the sort of wide crosses into the box for Isak. We'll have that with Barnes on the left-hand side as well because he's that more direct player that doesn't necessarily cut inside the way that Gordon does. We've got options and that's the important thing.
Yeah, I am really looking forward to see how Barnes and Willock link up. I think Barnes and Willock on linking up on that right-hand side is going to be good because they both kind of like to play the pass and move game. And I think you've got two players there who could pass and move well. So, I think I'm excited by that. And we haven't seen it really yet. So, yeah, I'm all for that. I'm all for seeing that. Right then. I forgot this last time I was on. I'm not forgetting it again. It's time for everybody's favourite feature. Daryl, it's time for Ref Watch.
Ref Watch!
Come on. There's your jingle.
That'll do. That'll do. Ref Watch for this one. So referee for this game on Monday night will be John Brooks from Leicester. And that will be his third appointment involving Newcastle United this season. That's following on from the 2-1 defeat at home to Liverpool and the 3-1 away win recently at Aston Villa. His Premier League record for this season is 16 games, 71 yellow cards and 4 red cards. So out of all the referees that we've done since we brought this feature back to life, a good few weeks ago. I think he's the one so far who's had the most red cards in his time this season. We've had a win and a loss. Is this going to complete the set and we'll get a draw? Who knows? We'll get to that in the predictions, I'm sure. But I also very quickly just will mention that we haven't lost to Chelsea for a little while now. Yes, we went out during the cup, but in the league, we haven't lost to Chelsea for a little while. A couple of draws in there. Couple of good wins, especially at St James's as well. And I don't normally go into detail on the VAR official, but you'll understand why when I mention it is that VAR official for this game will be our Aussie mate, Jared Gillett. Most recently seen down at Blackburn, sending us all the way through 120 minutes plus an extra 2 hours to get through all the penalties. We've also saw him down at Fulham for the fourth round fixture in the FA Cup. And then also, I've just mentioned it before, but the previous result at Chelsea in the AFL Cup, which was the loss on penalties after the 1-1 draw. That's enough of that. But the interesting thing I wanted to note, and I'll have to bring into some of our performances in recent games against Chelsea, is in this exact fixture last season, on the very last day, he was the man in the middle. And, of course, we remember that 1-1 draw when everything was already sorted. We were already qualified for the Champions League. Everybody was having a party, singing songs in the sun. The debut of Anthony Gordon's song, I think, as well. Just a very happy time. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Does John Brooks have reason to add to his red card tally? Hopefully not, unless it's a Chelsea player. Which, to be fair, if we remember what happened in the reverse fixture this season at St James's, when we had Thiago Silva's pants down on a good couple of occasions in that game. Who knows? It might be him. It might be he. He might be the one that gets sent off. You just never know. But yeah, so...
And then his wife can go on a massive social media rant like she
has
been for Thiago Silva.
We'll just rattle her again.
Yeah.
Didn't Gordon score his first goal for us in the reverse fixture last season? Do I remember that right?
Yeah. In the 8th minute.
First goal last game of the season, mate.
Yeah.
More the white
shirt. And he also scored in the reverse fixture as well. He scored the 4th goal in the 8th.
He just went.
But yeah, I'll tell you what I would say as well is, you know, as much as I've just battered on about having not lost to Chelsea for a little while, you look at our record down at the Bridge in the Premier League. Not great. Joe mentioned very much earlier that sole win being the Papa CCA masterclass and goals galore from, 360-degree angles and stupid skills and whatnot and banana shots and all sorts. But, one win, 7 draws, and sadly, 20 losses. Some of those as well.
Are you okay? Ending on a positive
note.
When Chelsea were minced, by the way, that's a caveat here. When Chelsea were minced, some of those defeats were very, very heavy. Very heavy defeats. But this is a different Chelsea that, like I say, we haven't lost to for a while. So here we go. Let's get a win on Monday night.
Well then, that leads us on nicely to our predictions. Go on then, Daryl. Keep going. What's your prediction, mate?
Do you know what it is? After everything that went on in the League Cup game, I would settle for a 1-1 after 90 minutes, quite happily, because it's an extra point gain. But we're just starting to ooze a little bit of momentum and confidence now, and given the way we handled this £1 billion Chelsea team at St James's Park earlier in the season, I can't see past us not winning. So I think we're going to win. I think it will be a close game because obviously we're still having to go to a place that we don't do quite well at. So I'm going to go for a narrow 2-1 Newcastle win. And I think it could be quite a late goal that decides it as well.
Well, it's a 7 o'clock kickoff, so it'll be very late.
After 10 o'clock, sorry. After the watershed.
Sorry. Andy, mate, what's your predictions?
I think our run of clean sheets of one game is going to come to an end.
I have
a feeling this is going to be a draw, but like a winning draw for us. I think we're going to come back to a draw, if you know what I mean. So you know those draws that feel. Yeah, we was tired. I'll be blaming the length of the grass.
Straight out the park.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like one of those draws that it feels like a win afterwards because you come back from the brink of defeat. And I think it might be one of those other sort of knives in the coffin of Pochettino. So I reckon this is going to be a 2-2 draw. I'm going to come from 2-0 down. It's going to be a belting game. And Monday Night Football will analyse none of it and talk about Liverpool or something instead. But I'm also slightly annoyed by you, Daryl. You've missed out the most important thing on Ref Watch again. What? Is the ref bald or hair? That's the most important thing.
So
he's one of the good refs. So Bruno will continue his streak of 500 games without a booking.
I don't know, the number of yellow and red cards.
Yeah, so who
Bruno,
knows?
Bruno getting sent off.
I'm going to say it's going to be a belt and score draw 2-2.
A Desmond
2-2. I was going to say 2-2, actually. Yeah, I thought it was going to be a 2-2 draw.
You're allowed to still say that.
I might change it. I might keep it. We'll see. Joe, mate, what's your prediction?
Well, I'm not going to say 0-0, am I? Keep you in suspense. No, I echo a lot of Daryl's sentiments, actually. It's funny looking at Stamford Bridge being such a bogey ground for us, yet, as you've just said, the ties between the two teams are changing so much. Again, you go to us battering them, what was it, 4-1 at St. James's Park. And obviously, more recently, we almost won during a time at Stamford Bridge when we were it, and Chelsea were supposedly really good. And if it wasn't for a Kieran Trippier mistake, would be through to the semi-finals and would have beat them. And I think now we're really showing the class that we know Eddie Howe can get out of this team. And yeah, okay, Chelsea are still good. They're off and on. They've got some great individuals. And, you know, if you catch them on day, yeah, they can punish you. But I think this is a great opportunity. So now I'm going to go for a 2-1 as well. I reckon we're going to do it. And I think more important than anything is that we put some distance between us and this little mini group that we've got going on between 6th and 11th or 12th or whatever it is. We need to start, you know, getting ahead of these teams and looking up at Man United rather than down at little Chelsea. So nah, let's get 2-1 win. Let's have it.
Little Chelsea. There you go. All right then. Well, as there's been two wins predicted and a draw, I'll stick with my 2-2 prediction as well, and we'll have the left on 2-2, and we'll have the right on 2-1. I think I'm actually in full agreement. I think we'll go 2-0 down, and I think it'll be first half will be 2-0 down, and then we'll come back and it'll be a two-all final score. I think it'll be one of those games where we'll be quite poor in the first half, and then the second half will come up, we'll absolutely batter them, and it'll be we'll be disappointed to come away not winning that 3-2. I think it'll
be
one of those.
We're going to be gutted if we go 2-0 down and then win 3-2. Like, so close. We're going to be absolutely raging to win.
No, we'll be gutted not to win it 3-2. We'll be gutted if it ends 2-2. That's what I'm saying. I think it'll be one of those games where we'll just need we'll be gutted if, especially if it'll only be like 5 minutes extra time and there should have been, you know, 9 or 10 or whatever. Depends what the man in the middle decides to give up. But yeah, I think it'll be 2-2. I think it'll be Gordon again with a goal. I think he's found his found a bit of form. I think he's going to get a goal, and I also think I'm going to go for Tino. I think Tino's maybe got his eye and now he's got one. Let's get another one where he runs around everyone just like he did before, and hopefully he'll get another goal. So yeah, 2-2 is my prediction. Joe, mate, you think you were going to say something?
No, I was just going to say, unless he scored in the last away game or whatever it is, all but one of Gordon's goals have been at home, which I find absolutely mental. Own goals against Sheffield.
That'll be this season.
Unless he scored. Yeah, this season, of course, yeah.
The one at Chelsea.
This season, yeah. All one, which I find quite mental considering how much goal involvement he's had.
I would love to see what will happen if we get the early goal. I'd love to see what that does to that crowd. Because as Andy's already said, they're already on a knife edge. I mean, are we gonna flip them? Are we gonna send them into
disarray?
You know,
did we not get Potter sacked already?
Was that not us?
I don't know. I think Potter did enough himself to get sacked, to be fair.
If we sacked two Chelsea managers in one season, that would be unreal.
Okay. Anyways, that's our thoughts and predictions on this game. What are your thoughts and predictions for this game? Let us know in the comments below. And if you're a Chelsea fan and you think we're talking a lot of codswallop, let us know in the comments below. We are 58 subscribers off 11,000 subs. So if you're watching this and you're not a subscriber, even if you're never going to watch us again, just scroll down from this video and do a favor. Just hit the subscribe button. Even if you're a Chelsea fan, just scroll down and hit the subscribe button. Help us get over that line. Help us get 11,000. Get your mom to do it. Get your granny to do it. Get your next door neighbor to do it. Get your Auntie Jean to do it. Even if you don't have an Auntie Jean, get her to do it anyway.
Find one.
Just help us get over 11,000 subscribers. Please. All we want by the end of the season, 11,000 subs. And while you're down there, hit the little thumbs up button. And if you want to be notified when new videos go live, hit the little notification bell as well. That'll let you know on any device of your choice when new videos go live on the channel. And if you want to go one step further, we also have a membership program. It's $2.99 a month. That gets you early access to videos like this fine video right here, as well as access to the Telegram group and the Discord server, as well as exclusive content to boot. Boys, thanks very much for joining us on this Wednesday night. We will see you in the next one. Like I mentioned before, there is a live watch-along happening on Monday night for the Chelsea game. The guys from the All With Smiling Faces podcast are going to get one of those giant pizzas from, is it Pizzaholic, I think it's called? Right. I don't know. Yeah. I live in the Netherlands. I don't know what the place is called. I used to get them myself. I didn't realise it was the same place. So they're going to get a giant pizza that Decker was on about that he got for the Super Bowl.
I wonder if they can finish it all.
If Decker's there, they're definitely finishing it all. Don't even.
He'll have one himself.
All the things you've ever said on this show, that is one of the ridiculous things.
I just want to see how much sauce he brings with him.
Decker's going to bring a bucket of garlic sauce. I will guarantee you. It's worth the subscription price alone. But yeah, thanks everybody for watching. We will see you all in the next one. Have a good one. Ta-da.
Sports Social Podcast Network.